And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. We're coming to you here Monday, March 7th, around 9:45 p.m. with our Bracket Rundown show. One of our favorite shows. We are actually going to reveal our consensus bracket from our Hoops HD staff. Let me first introduce the people that are on the podcast with us. Start in the middle there with Joby Forts. And Joby, how you doing?
Doing well. This is the last bracket show that will not be a conglomeration of 10 of us mimic the process of the real committee, not the outcome necessarily.
Right. This is not done by a committee the way that the real committee does it. I'll get to the explanation of how we did it in a second here, but let me also introduce David Griggs. David, how are you?
Yes, Chad. And again, I would like to welcome Joe Castiglione and I'm sure other members of the selection committee who are watching this broadcast. We tweeted it to you. We've been corresponding every night during the championship week notebook. So far, it's been one-way correspondence, but, I mean, who doesn't check their Twitter? So I'd like to welcome Joe Castiglione. Joe, welcome to the show.
Joe, great to have you. You guys sit back and watch the show. We'll show you what the bracket should look like as of right now.
Yes.
You can make tweaks to it as the week goes ahead, though.
Right.
John Sleek also with us. John, how you doing over there?
Oh, I'm doing quite well, Chad, Joby, and David, and given the events of tonight, I would strongly suggest everyone get a pot of coffee started again.
Yeah, a pot or several pots as we get through the rest of this week, but let me just go over briefly what we did for tonight. We had actually a total of 7 of our staff members here, all 4 of us on the call, along with John Titel, Lee Delvecchio, and Scott Schwartz, our colleagues, all submitted, ranked the top 55 teams of the nation. I then cross-country scored them to come up with a consensus bracket, which we're going to be revealing during the show here. This is our 7 of us, at least, a consensus bracket, mostly as of the games at the end of the day, Sunday night, although we did make adjustments for the results through about 9:30 tonight. Any late games, most notably St. Mary's game that's going on right now, Chattanooga's game that's going on right now, are not factored in here, although both of them, as we record this, are up pretty big.
Yeah.
But on that note, let's go right ahead, and I'm going to pull the bracket up here on my screen if we can see it. It should be coming up in a second.
Yeah, there it is.
Okay, it might be a little big here. Let me kind of shrink it down a little bit.
Yeah, so it's a little bit
better. There we go.
Now we can't see where some of the teams are going, Jen. Well, now we can see it fine, Jen.
John, what do you think about the results of our bracket here?
Yeah, I guess there are going to be, 68 blank teams all going to various sites.
Yeah, okay, we actually got to fill the teams in, though. Let's talk right away.
Exactly like the real committee's bracket before they put teams in.
Yes, it is. I mean, that is how authentic it is. This is exactly what the committee's bracket looks like at this point in the process. Yeah.
Pretty much. We're going to start by revealing the one line, and while there was an absolute consensus as the 1 overall team and almost a consensus as number 2 overall, it got a little interesting for 3 and 4, but let's show these teams here. Here we go. Kansas number 1, Villanova 2, Virginia 3, and Oklahoma making the 4th 1 seed. Joby, your who's getting in there, not only on the one line, but number 3.
Can I ask a question real quick? You do not necessarily have the Midwest paired up with the East, right? This isn't bracketed. This is just bracketed by region. You wouldn't have Kansas and Nova in the Final Four.
No, yeah, it would actually be the 1st and the 4th there. Midwest versus West and East versus South would be the bracket there. Thanks for pointing that out, David.
Yeah.
Don't forget to look at the notes that are in the bracket below where it says Midwest region.
Oh, yes. Yes, I see that now. Shut up!
Yeah, right on the screen. Joby, 3-4 Virginia, Oklahoma. Your thoughts on that, more so than Villanova, Kansas, because I think that was pretty much a consensus.
Yeah, and I Kansas, Villanova. I as opposed to last week, after Virginia beat Louisville and some mixing around, I actually moved Virginia up to the one line, so I'm on board. And Oklahoma was my 5th team. We did on the last bracket show, I am still on the Oregon train. They are winning outright one of the toughest conferences in the country. They'll get their chance to prove it in the tourney. I'm a big Oregon guy. They've collected a ton of road wins. Now, all the metrics that you kind of like are mixed in. Nothing against Oklahoma or Virginia for that matter, but they aren't regular season champs of their tournament. We'll see how their conference tournaments play out, though.
Well, I agree with you, Joby. You and I both have them on the one line. No one else did. And in fact, David, you had them down on the 3 line. So maybe I need you to respond to the Oregon discussion here.
It's just kind of a lack of when comparing them to other teams on the one line. I'm getting them up here. This is not easy when you don't have any arms. Just a minute. Okay, but yeah, it's they have a lot of good wins, but no real one seed caliber. You know, they lost to UNLV, they lost to Boise. Those teams aren't even in the field. Rarely do you see a one or a two seed lose to someone that isn't in the NCAA, much less the NIT, which UNLV isn't. You know, they lost to Colorado, lost to Oregon. I'm just not really seeing, other than maybe the win at Arizona, the high caliber wins that we're seeing with the other one seeds.
Well, hey, you had them down on your three line, though, which means that you thought there were still four more teams in between there that were still better than them.
Yeah. It isn't that I disliked Oregon. I just liked the other teams.
Okay. Well, let's just quickly go right onto the two line here then. Xavier, North Carolina, Michigan State, and Oregon did make our two line. Actually, they ended up being number seven overall. Three of these four teams, David, you also liked better than Oregon.
Yeah. All three of those.
Okay.
I mean, Michigan State has the win over Kansas. North Carolina got the big win at Duke. I mean, you know, that's just the big marquee road win. Xavier, they don't really have the big road win. So I think I had them number six, but that's just it. They don't have the big road win against the protected seed.
I think the problem for Xavier is what we thought were going to be some of their marquee wins away from home. Providence on the road and Dayton on a neutral floor. The value of those has steadily declined over the past 2 months.
Well, yeah. What I still like about Xavier, though, is that when you look at the teams that they have beaten, they've actually beaten the second most teams in the field. Kansas being ahead by a lot, long ways on that front, but they have 10 wins against the field. That's pretty impressive.
And don't forget one other fact I brought up last week. Xavier has actually beaten every single team on their roster, which I think Oklahoma would be only the second team that might be able to pull that off, depending on whether or not they're able to beat Kansas in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, and I realize Xavier doesn't have – and they have some things relative to the two line that smell pretty bad. They've lost to Creighton and the Georgetown. Neither are tournament teams, so – you know, to be fair, if I'm going to knock Oregon for that, then you got to knock Xavier for it too. But I had Xavier a little bit down the two line. Like, I think I had them sixth or seventh overall, and Oregon was ninth. So we're not talking about a huge difference. But, I mean, Xavier does have the – I think Xavier's win at home over Nova is better than Oregon's win at home over Utah. And out of everybody, I think Oregon's win at Utah is better than anything – Xavier has done, just because it was such a big road win. But I don't know. I just don't think Oregon, if I were going to knock them when compared to everybody else on the two line, they don't have the win away from home against a team like Kansas, like Michigan State does. They don't have the win or Duke like North Carolina does. And everybody else on the one line has beaten a protected seed away from home.
Bill Walton would be all over you, though. I mean, you know, just Eastern bias.
what a discomforting truck. I don't want Bill Walton fucking all over me. Okay, let's move Oregon up the line. Let's get them up on the line. I'm starting to like them a lot more now.
John, I wanted to ask about one other team here before we go on to the next line, and that's Michigan State. You were one of several people that actually had them on the one line, and we didn't. That was the other team that got votes for a one seed. Why did you have Michigan State on the one line over, I think it was Virginia that you had dropped down a line?
I think one of the reasons that I had Michigan State up is because they had a neutral court win over Kansas, so that was probably one of the single best wins that anyone has had this year. They also beat Providence when the Friars were at their best, not to mention they've also beaten other quality teams like Louisville, Maryland, and Wisconsin. And I also mentioned this earlier. Going back between Michigan State and Virginia, I chose the Spartans because some of their losses were not as bad as what Virginia had in midseason before both teams wound up righting their ships.
What's crazy about Virginia's losses, because I hear exactly what you say, John, but Virginia's losses have started to look a lot better the last week or two. All of a sudden, no one's winning in Castle. You know, losing in Castle Coliseum is not embarrassing anymore. Florida State is starting to pick up wins out of nowhere. Georgia Tech, for some reason, hey, I'm the ACC guy and I'm not on this train. Georgia Tech's getting bubble consideration. So all of a sudden, you're exactly right. That's one of the reasons why Virginia actually moved up, is their losses aren't looking as bad as they once were.
Yeah, but it's true. Lee and I are both pushing the cause for Georgia Tech right now.
Right. David, I want you to respond to Lee. I know he can't be here on the call because he has to work tonight, but I'd like to leave a comment for him. He had North Carolina number 2 overall.
Well, I mean, oh, Lee. I don't know. There's people that do things that don't make sense, and then there's Lee Delvecchio, who does things that makes people who do things that don't make sense seem to make sense. Did you follow that? Did that make sense?
I'm cracking up here, so give me a second.
I can't wait for Lee to watch this. I really can't.
We just wanted that. I just wanted that for Lee, what he does watch. But let's go ahead and show our three line. Indiana, West Virginia, Utah, and Miami. The exact order was West Virginia, Miami, Utah, Indiana. Miami, both you and John Tytel had them number 8 overall, despite what they did over the weekend. I kind of dropped them down to this three line just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it was a very underwhelming showing. They've had better days, and in fact, maybe they had a couple of worse days, but not many. Yeah, I don't – that literally made no sense. As well as Miami had been playing, and they just got a big win at Notre Dame, probably their more notable win of the year, they win the conference outright if they go to Virginia Tech and get it done. And they looked bored. I mean, it looked like they were more concerned about hot water in the shower than they were playing the game. What an uninspired performance where I realize in a week – from today, no one's going to remember anything that happened last week, and as intense and as hot as everything is this week, that all kind of fades into the background too. But still, the finish first in the ACC is kind of a – I mean, it's a feat that you want to obtain, and they were just very uninspired. Why did I have them on the 8? I guess because of all the other games other than that one.
Another weird thing about this line here is this was the week where I finally believed Texas could be up on the 3 line. But look at Indiana jumping in there, winning the Big Ten outright by a full 2 games.
I like Indiana. I don't like them this much, and I'm assuming everybody else voted them high because I didn't have them up here. So why Indiana?
I'm a big believer if you go out and win a major conference Power 5, it deserves a great amount of respect, and it puts them – they are the only ones in the Big Ten that can pull the double. And so – well, yes, I still had Michigan State ahead of them, just as I had Virginia have North Carolina. It's not a hard, fast rule, but it deserves respect when you see someone in a tough conference, especially the way they went out and just drilled Maryland this weekend. They did it with – whereas Miami looked bored, Indiana looked like just an absolute on-a-mission statement. I mean, the rolling up – I don't know if many people saw the game, but the classic – rolling the ball up to save time play by Maryland, and Yogi just goes out and dang near steals the ball. You know, that just showed the absolute effort and the heart that this Indiana team and they deserve the 3 line in my opinion.
The only reason I would be hesitant is because, as we all know, the Big Ten is not a balanced schedule. And in Indiana, it seemed to be very much – you know, imbalanced. I loved their win at Iowa, and I realize Iowa has been slipping. But other than that, Maryland hasn't been good on the road. I like Indiana. I don't like them as much as the 3 line, though. But I think I had them on the 4.
Well, yeah, Joe, but you had Indiana rated highest of anybody in the group here. So,
and they got the lead because of that regular season title, no doubt. Even if they had shared it, they'd probably be on the 4 line for me.
Okay, let me ask you that.
David, we're trying to see if John Tytel can join us. Can you just resend him an invite here. We're trying to get him on also. We're trying to get him on. But while we're going ahead with this, okay. Please go. I guess while he does that, let me reveal the four line. We just start some discussions about that. Our four line was Duke, Kentucky, Iowa State, and Purdue. It was actually Duke, Iowa State, Kentucky, Purdue in that order. John, let me start with you. Your thoughts on what we came up with in the four line, and do you agree with that or not?
Looks like you were taking some notes on the bracket I posted on the website this morning by putting Purdue up here and knocking Maryland out of protected seed territory. And as expected, I didn't think Duke was going to get penalized for losing at home to North Carolina, so I could agree on three out of these four teams right here in terms of their placement.
Well, Joby, do you think Duke should have been dropped down because of their loss?
No, Duke played well. They'd already won on the road at North Carolina, so you got to take that into consideration. I think John Salik and I might be having the same team that's missing. Not that I really have a problem with any of these teams. Yeah. Salik and I are in the same.
It was close. It was very, very close for the last 16 seed between.
And we might have different teams who have dropped down, and that's the issue. I'm probably the reason why I'm going a lot on the Kentucky ability here and the eye test when they're on. I'm not going to lie. The paper says they're actually like a six, but I'm going. Yeah. I just look at them. I go, wow, if they're a six, how unfair to that three seed. You know, sort of thing.
I mean, unless the game isn't in Rupp Arena, then it's very fair to the three seed.
I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to touch them. It's a team you don't want to face in March, David.
Okay, I mean, you have to concede that point. It really isn't a team you want to face.
I'll tell you, as a Rutgers fan, I'd be happy to face any team in March ever. So that's all I got to say.
And I am staring at the Knights win over Duke, and I think that's how they play all tournament long. This is the Kentucky team from a few years ago. I know you're not supposed to take last year's or 2 years ago results into the account, but I just look at that 8 seed going all the way to the finals, you know, and I could see them do something like that again because their backcourt, Tyler Ulis is playing well, and Murray's the real deal. They have the tools to put together a deep run in the tournament.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and show the five line. Maybe Mr. Tytel will not be joining us tonight. We thought he might be kind of up in the air still on that. But the five line here, and you could start to see some potential round of 32 matchups. Maryland, there you go, David. I know you want me to do this stuff. There you go.
All right, now to Joe Castiglione and the rest of the committee that's watching, these are the kinds of matchups we would like to see. You know, the Duke v. Maryland, I mean, it's all about, we don't want you to compromise the seed list to do it, but if you're able to do it, why not just do it? So, and again, I'm glad that they've joined us tonight.
Texas A&M, an interesting case. This was a team that was fading down closer to the 7 line, but has now really been playing well the last 3 weeks. I think this is one of the hotter teams in the country right now. Did actually tie Kentucky for the SEC title, won the tiebreaker for the 1 seed. Joby, does this A&M team have a shot at a protected seed if they win the SEC tournament?
Yeah, they do. They're not far out, precisely because they really did write that. They look like they were dead and buried, much like we'll get to them probably. South Carolina is getting close to dead and buried.
If they ever made
A&M has decided to turn it around. And, yeah, if they make the run, the SEC has a smattering of teams that will be in this field. If they – presumably they're going to beat those teams on their way. They're not going to face a bunch of upset winners sort of games. And they beat a Kentucky or someone like that on the way to, you know, on the way to an SEC championship, a double – a one-and-a-half double, yeah, they're a protected seed in my book.
John, let me throw the same question to you about Cal. What if they win the Pac-12 tournament? Could they get the four line?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. They'll be able to get to the four line and maybe higher because they may have to go through both Oregon and Utah to do that. I mean, they're not even a protected seed right now, but look where they are in the tournament. The only danger here is that they would not be protected from a team like Gonzaga if they were to possibly fall into the 12 line.
Ooh, ooh, Call on me. Call on me.
David? Can't play Marys. Yes.
I was just going to say that I think the biggest area where Cal is lacking is wins away from home. If they win the Pac-12 tournament, they address that in bulk, because you're not only winning away from home, you're winning against the likes of Oregon and Cal, or I'm sorry, Oregon and teams that are all...
Cal's going to be Cal.
Shut up!
California University at Los Angeles?
You know. Maybe, yeah, there you go. Southern California.
I hate all of you. But yeah, I mean, you're talking about winning quality games. You all have mentioned Oregon. I really like this Utah team. I know that their paper isn't as good, but I just love how they're playing down the stretch. It wouldn't shock me if Utah won the tournament.
Yeah. I had them as a 3 seed. So.
Yeah, they're in their solids of 3. Let's go ahead and show the 6th slide also here now. Arizona, Notre Dame, Baylor, and Iowa. An Iowa team that's, you know, this is kind of almost a line of teams that were towing the protected seeds that have all fallen down. I think you could say that in all 4 of these teams, really.
Yeah. Iowa, they had lost 4 in a row. They did win their season finale to kind of pull out of that tailspin. Notre Dame, when they fall down, they do not mess around. Good God.
John, how about this Arizona team? One of the more interesting profiles in that they, with that Cal win, they finally got another big win, but you know, they've been kind of, you know, lacking in the top 50 wins as opposed to the top 100 wins. And I just scared him right off. Joby, can you address the question?
John, ask John about Arizona, and he's out the door.
Arizona has collected a lot of really nice, like, oh, that you beat a good NIT team today. Yeah, you know, wins, and but they keep on winning, and they don't collect a lot of bad losses. That Cal win also showed a lot of, for if presumably the committee was actually watching it, it was actually a tremendous game because Cal had them buried. And Arizona threw some great clutch play, clutch shooting at the end, was able to come from behind and win that game. Arizona showed that, hey, we deserve to be wearing white in this tournament.
Well, we've now lost both John T and John S, so we're running out of Johns, but we'll go ahead and show our 7 lines. See if we have any Johns out here. Maybe a St. John's? No St. John's. Wisconsin, Seton Hall, Texas Tech, and Dayton making our 7 line. This Wisconsin team, I guess I'm still the lowest of anybody in our group, actually. Well, me and Lee Delvecchio will be tied for the lowest on this Wisconsin team. We would both have them down on our 8 or our 9 lines. And my thought is, yeah, they've been playing real well lately. They've been pulling up those wins, but you just can't overlook those awful losses at the beginning of the season. And, Joby, you've said before, I'm a person that looks at losses, and that's one of my problems with them is those bad losses.
That's very fair. I mean, you've got to look at what they've done lately. But here's what jumped out to me with Wisconsin, because I had them as my last team on the 6th line. So I'm one of the people dragging them up. Most of the teams in this range, your Notre Dames, et cetera, are beating about three, four, five tournament teams, okay? Wisconsin has 8 tournament wins. That's, right. You know, that has to counterbalance, you know, the bad losses at the beginning of the year. Plus, and while this does not excuse away the losses, that's why they're not a protected seed.
Right.
Fact is, Wisconsin has completely righted the ship with the whole Bo Ryan to Greg Gard. Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of mixing up going on in Madison at that time. They have, needless to say, with Greg Gard being announced now to be Wisconsin's future coach, at least for another year, they have stability that they did not have early in.
Yeah, and again, let me ask you this, Chad. Where would you have Whiskey had it not been for the early losses? It's not that we're discounting them. Without those losses, they're 2-3 line, I think. I mean, this was a team that finished way up in the Big Ten standings. I realize they lost their last game, but they're really playing as well as anybody in the conference, I think.
That lost to a team that's a protected seed. So yeah. It's not like that's a crazy bad loss on the road. I mean, yeah. Hey, you lost a number 4 seed on the road. Okay.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm not gonna dispute with you that I don't like what Wisconsin has up at the top of the profile at Maryland, at Iowa, VCU neutral court. Even the win at Syracuse is at least a decent road win. But So if you take away the Western Illinois home loss, you take away the Milwaukee home loss, you take away the Marquette home loss, you take away the Georgetown neutral court loss. Yeah, I think they are absolutely a protected seed, but that's four losses you got to take away, three of which came at home.
But we don't have them as a protected seed. We have them on the 7 line. And as someone that likes one of the teams on the 2 line, I'm actually kind of scared of them. Yeah, in fact, why don't you switch them with one of the other teams? Could you do that?
I could just see, hey, my team doesn't want to face any Big Ten team who really knows the pack line. I don't want to face Wisconsin, Michigan State. Just keep those teams away, as far as I'm concerned.
Let's go ahead and show the 8 line now.
You gave them Michigan State. Thanks.
Here's the 8 line. We've got Butler, Pittsburgh with a potential Villanova matchup. Providence, that's who Virginia has, and that's a very favorable matchup for Virginia, I think. And Colorado, if they can defend Chris Dunn, I think Virginia can get by that game fairly easily. Yeah. Providence has been so schizophrenic. Butler was one of the most widely disputed teams in this field, though. Just if I can get the numbers here for a second to read off to you. But Butler came in on some of our fields as worse as 39 overall, which was squarely in the bubble, and as high as 26 overall. That was you, Joby. So, I mean, that's a huge discrepancy on the evaluations of Butler.
I think the recency factor, they turned the corner. They were a bubble team just a couple of weeks ago for me, but the bubble, and I mentioned this on the website for the Nitty Gritty ratings, if you look at the ratings, I've never seen a pack from about 37 to 50 that's just so tight. Butler has popped out of that. Butler, with their sweep, of Providence, that's a big deal. Butler's playing well. I could be convinced to lower them, most certainly. But for now, I feel confident where I place them.
What about these other teams here? John, let me throw it to you here. Colorado, Pittsburgh, your thoughts on those teams. Do you agree with them being here around the 8 line?
Yeah, first off, my apologies for being booted off the podcast by the Spokane Chamber of Commerce, because I guess they didn't like what I said about California. But what I'm looking at are some of the OKC pods right here. David, don't we have any Big 12 conflicts here?
I'm leaving.
I believe joining us right now, we've been trying to get him on for a little while here, is John Tytel. John, welcome to the show.
I am not leaving.
We are not leaving. Welcome, and John, great to have you back, first of all. John has been on special assignment for the last 2 months in Arizona working on the hashtag Lopes waiver campaign. John, was it successful?
I mean, they're not going to make the NCAA tourney, but they look pretty darn good in person, and the atmosphere was amazing, so I'm glad I got to check them out.
All right. Well, John, welcome back, first of all. And second of all, what we've been doing is running through our consensus bracket based on 7 different seed list I received, and if you can see them right there on my screen, we've actually revealed the first half of the bracket there. We were just discussing some of these teams on the 8 line, but if you want to just take a few minutes to take a look at it and digest it here, what I'm going to do is go ahead and show the 9 line, and then I'll come back to you for any comments on what we've done so far.
Because this is the end of the initial seed, so I'm anxious to hear John's comments, because John tries to guess the committee. By the way, we are being joined by Joe Castiglione and other members of the committee. We're tweeting this out to them, so they will be watching.
Yes, they're going to be watching sometime tonight. But let's go ahead, and I'm going to show the 9 line here. David, I did something very special for you there in the East region, first of all.
Yes, you did.
But we have the 9 seeds with USC, St. Joe's, Oregon State, and Syracuse. Obviously, St. Joe's with a potential second-round matchup with Villanova there. In Brooklyn, which would be a heck of a game. But Joby, let me start with you here. Any thoughts on these 4 teams that we do see here, including both USC and Oregon State? I think 2 teams that are both heading in opposite directions at the moment.
Yeah, I know, and I think it'll balance itself out in the Pac-12 tournament maybe, but like I just mentioned, it gets really tough dividing these lines. St. Joe's made it more difficult this weekend. They should have made it easier to get on the 7 or 8 line, but they decided to lose this weekend. This is, you could see this group of 9 and then even some in the 8s, they aren't safe from the bubble by any stretch. I mean, You know, there's all this discussion about that team over in the West region on Syracuse, and I think with good measure. Likewise, I'm a big fan of Oregon State, but some experts have them even out right now. So it goes to show how tough this decision is going to be beyond even the normal years. We say it every year, but I mean, this is an unusually tight year.
John T., let me bring you in here. I've had a few seconds on these Pac-12 questions because I know you've got a lot of Pac-12 ties there. This Oregon State team, was that win at UCLA enough to put them in the field at this point?
I don't think so. I mean, I really thought UCLA was a slam dunk pick as of a month ago with wins over my Arizona Wildcats and Gonzaga and Kentucky. They've really fallen apart. They almost swept Arizona, to be fair. Like, that team has talent. And kudos to Coach Alford for restocking after losing a couple guys to the draft. But the record isn't there, so therefore I don't think a win by the Beavers against the Bruins is anything to write home about.
Do you think they belong here in the field? Do you think they should be out at this point?
Today they're in. I really think if we have a couple more bid Steelers like we've had earlier tonight, being Monday night, that it could be one of the first ones to get kicked to the curb, unfortunately.
That's kind of – I mean, I thought that one of the biggest things Oregon State was lacking was road wins. And I know UCLA isn't good, but at least it was a road win against somebody. They now have four, which isn't a lot. But I think that it's not so low that they would be kept out just because of a lack of road wins. Four is – well, one of them was against Rice, so 3.5 road wins.
And they did just beat, even though UCLA is – it's right, UCLA is trending off in an awful direction, but UCLA did protect their home court against a protected seed in our field in Kentucky. I mean, it's not like – it's just a simple layup to go walk into Pauley.
John, if you've had a few seconds to take a look at the board here, do you have any comments about the stuff that we saw earlier? Is there anything that really stands out to you? Or?
And the one thing I want to know is what we're doing – right, that the committee will not do, because this is our selection committee expert. And this is your chance to talk to Joe Castiglione, who we have tweeted this to and is watching.
I wish he also would have agreed to my interview request, but that's okay, Joe. In terms of the one seeds, I mean, I've seen a lot of brackets have Oklahoma as a one seed, and I get it, they're good. And believe me, I was driving that bandwagon with Joey since November. Yeah. I just don't – they're really – starting to tumble and lose a couple games, and I really like the Spartans now that they're healthy. As good as Kruger is, Izzo is a better coach in March, period. I think the Sooners might get it due to a variety of factors, but I really think Michigan State is a legit one seed.
Well, how about Indiana being a three seed as the Big Ten outright regular season champion? And again, Michigan State not being an outright regular season champion. Do you agree with Indiana there in the three line?
I do. I had them as a four, I think yesterday, actually, and I think I might be bumping them up to a three. And they've had a great, great run. I really thought it was going to be an offense-only team, and once James Blackman Jr. went down, frankly, I thought obviously the three seed was out of the question. I wasn't even sure if they'd be a top eight seed. So Tom Crean is really putting together a great show. Yogi Ferrell is – I still think Valentine's the player of the year in the Big Ten, but Yogi's right there with him. And if they can keep I don't think they have to win the Big Ten to keep a three seed, but if they can have a couple more wins in the Big Ten tourney, I think a three seed is a legit possibility.
Dave, did you mark that down, 10:20 p.m. on March 7th? Tom Crean is doing a great job. we don't hear that for often.
It's kind of funny. Our Indiana constituents don't like Tom Crean, but I guess people don't really like their own. I had a question for John, but I forgot what – Texas A&M, do you think that that's too high, too low? And what was the other team we were all over the place about? Was it Butler?
It was Butler.
Butler.
Yeah. What do you think the real committee is going to do with those teams?
If you can put the bracket back up so I can see where those teams are at, that would be very helpful.
Yeah.
If not, just tell me what their seeds are, and I'll see what I can do.
You can't see it. It's on the – okay, it's Butler's on the 8 line, is that right?
And Butler's on the 8 line, and to A&M we had on a 5 line, and we're discussing the chances that if they win the SEC tournament, they could make a top 4 seed.
Click on chat's box, John. See if that helps.
It does, thank you. So Texas A&M, I do have them as a 5 seed, and I agree, if they have to get through South Carolina and Kentucky to win the SEC. I think a 4 seed is very much in play, especially because Kentucky might have to drop down from a 4 to a 5. As far as Butler, I think you said you have them as an 8.
We have them as 8 in the Midwest. I know you were actually the lowest of anybody on Butler, so let you comment on them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they can beat USC, so and I don't know what they're going to do with Kansas. That could be a little tricky, but I think that's a little high. I like putting them in the Midwest because I think that their fans will travel now that they're a tourney-proven team. That is not doing USC any favors to have them play a Midwest team in Des Moines. But I think it's a little high. I was leaning closer to a 9-10, but as you all know, once you get to the 8-9 game, it's all kind of just rolling the dice and throwing everything up in the air. So I don't have a huge problem with Butler as an 8.
Okay, Chad, write it down, 10-23. Kansas can be tricky.
Okay. Let's go ahead and show the 10 line here. What we've got here on the 10 line is Cincinnati, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and there's the Wichita State Shockers. This is a big debate nationally now whether or not Wichita State deserves a bid or not. Our consensus did say they were in. Joby, let me start with you. Your thoughts on this 10 line.
It mirrors a lot what I had on the 10 line. I want to pick out the Bearcats. That win against SMU, I know it was home. That is a very big win because we talked already about how when teams had various things on the line, Miami doesn't show up against Virginia Tech. Cincinnati came out and they played tough and they beat that SMU team that would be in our field solidly in the top half of the field. They showed a lot. And given the American at the bubble is essentially a mess. I mean, there are four teams in discussion. All of them could be in, all of them. We know that some will get in, some will get out. Cincinnati seemed to pop their head to the front of that list right now. And so I'm all on board with Cincinnati being the first of those to be seen here.
David, we've complained to Chad about not putting up enough matchups, but look what he put together for us here. A pair of rock fights with Wisconsin and Cincinnati, Dayton and Wichita State, and look at Raleigh with a potential North Carolina-South Carolina matchup in round two.
Xavier Cincinnati here too, so hey, there you go.
Oh, that one would be so much fun. That would be a fun one.
That'd be a fun regional to be at. I mean, the sub-regional, because the fans will be able to be in the room in St. Louis, so that's just outstanding, even if Cincinnati doesn't get there.
Personally, this is where I think Wichita belongs. I'm surprised our committee has them there. I realize it's done by cross-country vote, not committee, but I thought that it just says to me that we're all kind of, at least enough of us, are on the same page with Wichita. They were an outright first-place team. They played a strong out-of-conference schedule. None of their losses were horribly bad, and they were in the rankings, and they won 9 true road games. I think this is where they belong, even if their paper indicates maybe a little lower. I'm a little surprised that, because I thought that they might even miss our field.
John T., you had Wichita highest of anybody. You had them solidly on the 8 line. Is there a reason without the top wins other than the Utah home win that you really think they're very solidly in the field at this point?
Yeah, I think the committee takes injuries into account, and I really think with Van Vliet, they're frankly a top 25 in the nation team, and without him, they were very mediocre. And obviously, they didn't get it done in the conference tourney, and that will cost them. We'll see how many seed lines it does cost them.
But what about the argument that their worst 3 losses all came with Van Vliet in the lineup?
That's a healthy argument that defeats my entire premise, but I still think that they had a good schedule, and they lost a couple games without him, and with him, I think he's one of the best point guards in the country, and even though he doesn't put up amazing stats like Kay Felder or anything from Oakland, he really runs that team. And I don't know if it took them extra time to get everyone on the same page. And maybe they're going to get upset in the first round, and maybe they're going to be a low seed. But I do not bet against Wichita State in the NCAA tournament.
Well, John, that argument was tried out by Jerry Palm when he joined us a few weeks ago. And for the record, you have a better record at picking the tournament than Jerry.
Let's go ahead and show the
11. I love Jerry. I want to stress, I love Jerry.
This is the 11 line, which does complete all of our at-large bids. Just a comment before we get there, as I just ruined the drum roll, but because Cincinnati was the first American team in, I have them as the presumptive auto bid winner, even though they're not the first place team, just to make this true to show where everybody is, and that's going to come in play here on the 11 line, as we see that the last four teams in, UConn, VCU, St. Bonaventure, and Temple, those are our final four teams in. San Diego State and St. Mary's completing the 11 line here.
Uh-huh. San Diego State, I'm assuming they weren't inside the bubble.
Both San Diego State and St. Mary's were below the bubble. Actually, before what happened tonight, Monmouth would have been here with St. Mary's on the 11 line, also below the bubble. Monmouth losing tonight pushed San Diego State up to the 11 line with St. Mary's, both below the bubble. The rankings here were UConn, VCU, St. Bonaventure, Temple in that order.
Okay.
Thoughts on the last four teams here, including two American teams. David, let me start with you.
I actually like Monmouth's profile and think they'll get in, but I like it a little more than Temple's, and I certainly like it more than St. Mary's and San Diego State, although you said you had them outside the bubble. I like Bonaventure. I like VCU. In Connecticut had a really good win at Texas. I was guessing that the committee was going to take Monmouth anyway, and I realized we're not concerned with that for the sake of this exercise, but because of all their road wins, they had 13 true road wins, 17 wins away from home total, and enough notable wins to where I just thought the committee was going to take them, but I never thought I'd say this, as weak as the field is, I don't really know who you take out of here other than Temple. I mean, I personally like them more than Temple. I'm bigger on St. Bonaventure than probably most of you. I think I had them just inside the first four, but they tied for first place. The paper is sort of there. You could make a case for it if you had to, but I like their win at Dayton, and I think there's some other good stuff there too, so I was glad to see them in the field.
Unlike the ACC Atlantic 10 Challenge that was played before tens of people in Brooklyn right before Christmas, yeah. I can assure you this American A-10 Challenge played at Brooklyn and Providence is going to get some much nicer crowds here if this comes to fruition.
Yeah, let's go ahead and show the top four teams out here also. Monmouth is...
Quick point. Temple has been a favorite bashing, team to be bash of the American teams. I'm actually kind of on the Temple bandwagon. I don't really get why they're so much worse. I mentioned why I have Cincinnati ahead. But I don't understand why Temple's a step behind. I think they should be, if anything, a few steps up, given that they won the regular season title in a conference where most teams played everybody. And they didn't have the bad losses. They have a collection of pretty nice wins. And, yeah, they have a sub 200 loss, and that's why they're on the 11 line or the 10 line. But
I don't get why they're so low. Let me ask John T. to respond for that, because, John, you actually had Temple rated 45th overall, so they clearly were not inside your bubble.
I do love me some Fran Dunphy, but they're going to need to win, I think, a couple games in the American tournament. I need to hear your explanation for VCU. I'm looking at their schedule, lost to Duke, lost to Wisconsin, lost to Florida State, lost to Georgia Tech, lost to Cincinnati. Their best non-conference win, I believe, is Old Dominion or Middle Tennessee. That doesn't sound like a tourney team to me.
Don't ask me for the explanation. I had them 51st overall. I had them way out. David, maybe you actually had them fairly highly rated. Let me ask you to respond to that question on VCU.
Yeah, seven true road wins, one at St. Joe's, who did – I mean, I realized Joe's was an anomaly. They actually had a better record away from home than they had at home, but still a pretty good win. And, these aren't tournament teams, but – I think beating them on the road is still better than beating a tournament team that had a losing record. If you beat a tournament team at home, and even though it's a tournament team, if they have a losing record on the road, I tend to not value that as much. And again, we're not trying to guess the committee. I thought the win at GW was notable. I thought the win at Davidson was notable. And I thought the win at Middle Tennessee was at least decent. I mean, If all you have is a win at Middle Tennessee, you got nothing. But I think all three of those together, along with the win at Joe's, was pretty good. That's the best case I can make for them. And they don't have any really, really, really bad losses either. I mean,
now, our top four teams out here. Yeah, our top four teams out here, Monmouth, Tulsa, Michigan, Valpo. Obviously, Monmouth and Valpo were in this field before tonight. So Tulsa and Michigan were the next two teams that were seriously discussed here in terms of the power conferences, the multi-bid conferences at least. Joby, is it one of these teams you'd have over a Temple or a VCU?
Well, I mean, you know, not over a Temple. You heard me on my rant now.
I'm sorry, the VCU.
I could listen. I actually did have VCU as my last team in, and Michigan my first team out. The field actually, I think, matches mine. But I could easily be convinced that Michigan should jump in because they do have three nice wins. The fact is, though, they've lost a lot, you know, lost a lot of their other opportunities, and they're playing woeful right now. And I think that is a factor. But it's very tight on this bubble. It drops off like a cliff when you get to the also considered, I think you'll see. But it's a tight one between all these American teams, Tulsa being out, and Michigan fading a little bit.
Let me bring up the also considers here. These are eight other teams that got at least some consideration somewhere. Maybe not in, but among the first teams out. Florida, Gonzaga, Houston, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Hofstra, Washington, Clemson. It got pretty bad there at the end. But
I like Hofstra better than most of those.
Their RPI is like 120.
That's why I said they got a little bit of attention from somebody. They not even being in the field, but among the top eight teams out. But let me start with let me go through each of you here and ask you who the teams that you think of this group are the most likely to actually make the field. John T, let me start with you with that. Of not only the also considered, but also the top four out. So all 12 of those teams there.
Of those 12, let's see. I like, I guess, Michigan the best only because I think they're going to have chances to get some wins that will bump their RPI and resume up, whereas Monmouth and Valpo no longer have that chance. So if I had to pick one, I would pick Michigan, but 1A and 1B are Monmouth and Valpo.
All right. John S., your thoughts?
I think this was the worst possible scenario for Michigan coming into play tonight with both Monmouth, Valparaiso, and Hofstra all losing. In fact, I don't think we've had a single number one seed win a conference tournament yet, and Chattanooga is still in trouble.
Yeah.
But as far as who I think can get in, I think if you're from the American, if you're a team like Tulsa or UConn, Cincinnati, you've got some pretty good chances to knock fellow bubblers out.
Yeah, and David, your thoughts on the same question.
I kind of think Monmouth. You mean to make our field, or do you mean to make
the real field? Let's discuss it that way.
Okay, I would say Monmouth, and again, I'm trying to put my committee guessing hat on because of what they did out of conference and because of how many road games they played and how many they won. I mean, when the committee says you need to go out and play teams, and a team does that and wins a lot of the games that Monmouth won. I think that I could see them taking Monmouth. They were a first-place team as well. Their strength of schedule isn't great, but that reflects more of their conference than it does anything else. I think the committee might overlook that. And this might sound surprising, but another first-place team that won at Wilmington was Hofstra. And again, they're not top 50, but they're close. And they were an outright first-place team, and they had the wins. They had a couple decent wins at UNC Wilmington, at William & Mary, Florida State neutral. You could make a case for them if you had to, and I've just noticed that the committee does seem to value outright first-place teams. One of the things working against them is their overall strength of schedule. But, again, I think that those are the two that the committee is most likely to take.
I keep an eye on Houston. If they can make a little noise at the American tournament, I think it could be an interesting debate here. And I'm talking about probably needing to make the finals. Did I get to you there? I'm sorry. Did I skip over?
No, the team, I think it's kind of the hint that you had with Tulsa, with Don saying you'll have chances, or what John said with Michigan. This team is likely to fade out and not do anything, but Florida State has shots, has chances. They can win if they can plow through the ACC and get into – I think they might need to get all the way to the finals, but even the semis, they will have beaten teams to get there that will raise their profile. They probably do need to get to the finals. but they will be beating a protected seed most likely if they're doing that. At that
Houston. Point, sorry, go ahead.
At that point, Florida State, who has the talent to be able to do this, they have lottery picks on their team. I don't know about Leonard Hamilton, but they have the talent to do it. That's the team to watch. Of course, they could easily go out and lose their first game. And the other team, that 8-10
conference record really hurts.
Yeah, it does. But if they win in the tournament, I think the committee does take into account the overall collection.
Because
that is the other team and I'll let John T. say one way or another, I still believe when you have a name, you get attention to a degree, right or wrong. Gonzaga, we'll find out if they lose to St. Mary's. They got to lose to St. Mary's, not BYU.
Where's that coming from?
Yeah, Jovis, get your mute on there for a second.
Yeah.
David, go ahead, please.
Okay, anyway, the brand name, I think that's more important to the media than it is to commissioners and athletic directors, because let me tell you, you're familiar with everyone after a couple years in the business. You really are. So I don't know if it matters that much. The other thing, and the one thing I wanted to ask you, Chad, is, what the results were from the 11 line down and how these teams landed in relation to the teams on the 11 line that were outside the bubble.
Okay, then I could actually read off an order of teams here. Below Temple, the order was below Temple in this order: St. Mary's, Monmouth, San Diego State, Tulsa, Little Rock, Michigan, Valpo, Florida, Gonzaga, Houston, Northern Iowa, who we haven't even shown on the board yet, okay. SFA actually coming in there, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Hofstra,
SFA.
I'm below that. So that's kind of the order there.
Okay.
But let me go ahead and show the 12 line so we can show some of those teams we just mentioned there. Chattanooga, assuming they win this game tonight, they're only up 5 with about 6 minutes left as we record. Iona, Little Rock, and Northern Iowa there on the 12 line as the auto bid winner out of the Missouri Valley. And the 13 line, continuing on, we got Wilmington, Yale, Stony Brook, and Hawaii coming in. With SFA, I think there might have been was a little bit lower than number 14 line. That's where we had SFA along with Akron, South Dakota State, UAB. Let me just run off the list of the 15 and 16 lines, and I'll have you ask your comments on all of these here.
Okay.
15 line here, we had New Mexico State, Weber State, Asheville, and Oakland. And the 16 line, Hampton and Texas Southern both avoiding the first four, while Gulf Coast, Lehigh, Wagner, and Austin P on their way to Dayton. John S., let me start with you. Your thoughts on the bottom of the bracket here and anything that really stands out to you here?
Yeah, I was going to go back to Houston for a moment because we saw a similar scenario play out 2 years ago when SMU came out of nowhere and won 20-plus games, but had a very atrocious non-conference schedule like Houston did, and they proceeded to lose their American Conference opener. Houston, please don't do that. But that being said, if we go back to the 12 through 16 lines, I like the chances for, Northern Iowa and Chattanooga to possibly pull off some upsets in those games. But Duke and UNC Wilmington, that's a nice little regional rivalry right there.
And North Carolina gets UNC Asheville. They both got UNC teams in this bracket. John T., your thoughts on the bottom of the bracket or anything else with regard to the also considereds and outs?
Where's Greensboro?
So we always know that a 12 seed beats a 5 seed every single year. I'm not seeing Chattanooga over Maryland on the East Coast just because I'm really impressed by Maryland, even though they've had some bumps this past several weeks. I do like Northern Iowa over Cal a lot just because – you got a veteran team with a veteran coach. Quanzo's in his, I believe, first or second year out in Cal. He's got freshmen leading him. They're in Spokane, which will give them a little West Coast bias, but that'll be tough. And I love Arkansas Little Rock over A&M. A&M's got size, but I think an unproven coach and a lot of freshmen as well helped that they're in Oklahoma City, but obviously Arkansas's kind of around the Midwest, I believe, says the geography minor. So I think we do have a couple 12-5 upsets happening.
Joby, your thoughts on it? Joe, are you with us?
Well, are you with us?
Yeah, no, I just didn't want to give the feedback obnoxious. I think that if we see the ones start to win in the lower conferences, you could see the deepening, so to speak, in the ability to see upsets that our old 12-5s were the 13-4. I mean, I look at Stony Brook and Iowa State. And that Stony Brook team is strong. That Hawaii team, I mean, Hawaii and Purdue will be playing on a neutral court, of all neutral courts in Spokane. Hawaii took Oklahoma to the wall in on the islands. They can certainly do that with even a very good Purdue team. A lot of the 12-5s that John T. mentioned could turn into 13-4s, but you need cooperation. It would have been a lot easier to see a 13-4 if Monmouth wins, if Valpo wins, because that kicks everything down in the strength of the bracket down.
And David. I just want to get Joby's feedback off here for a second. Okay, David, your comments as well. And are you with me on the SFA over Indiana upset in this bracket?
No. SFA has proven over the last 3 years that they have an uncanny ability to beat sub-200 teams. Indiana, not a sub-200 team. They had the big win over VCU a couple years ago, which is still one of the more surprising results, but I'm just not a believer. I mean, by Southland standards, I think that they're outstanding. I'm just not a believer that they're good enough to win a game. It's rare that you don't – I mean, it's rare that there's a tournament. In fact, I don't recall the last time it happened where no 13 or 14 seeds won. We saw two 14 seeds win last year. But in looking at the 14 line, I'm just not seeing it in any of those games. Like last year – UAB winning was a huge surprise. I don't think Georgia State was as big. I like Akron, but I really like West Virginia. I think they would need someone a little more brain dead than that. If it's going to happen, it would be Stony Brook over Iowa State if I had to pick one of the upsets. And on the 13 line, I actually kind of like Yale. I know that everybody was singing the praises of Kentucky, and I realize Yale is kind of having that whatever, but I would like their chances over Kentucky. And now I just realize that Stony Brook's on the 13 line, not the 14, so disregard that.
Well, on that note, actually, I'm going to go ahead and pull the screen down here, but that does complete the bracket. What we'll do is we'll have it on the posted on the webpage as well sometime coming up on Tuesday, but I want to just go through if there's any final thoughts from each of you before we end for the night. David, let me start with you. We'll work backwards this time.
Well, one of the things is, and we're trying to get this rectified, the Grand Canyon Antelopes are still, like, not in the wax field. We've reached out to them and notified them of the error and informed them of the mistake. We'll have more of that on the Championship Week notebook tonight, but I mean, again, I'd just like to point out to Joe Castiglione, who is watching, to be aware of that they should be on the board.
And Joby, any other thoughts?
It's, a lot of people are starting to look at the ACC two bottom guys closest to the bubble, Pitt and Syracuse. They play each other in an 8-9 game. Will the loser of that actually slip all the way out? The winner's in, I think there's no doubt. But will the loser fall all the way out?
John S.?
Yeah, I think we had alluded to some of the bubble teams that can make a case for themselves, but while we're talking about long shots, I'm going to throw out one another, and that's in our own Big East Conference, and that's the Creighton Blue Jays. They have a couple of possible matchups in Seton Hall and Xavier that could vault them into the championship game, and if either Providence or Butler is able to upset Villanova, who knows what crazy things could happen at the Garden.
We've had a lot of crazy things so far this championship week, and as you mentioned earlier, no one seed has even won a conference tournament yet, so we're going to have a very busy NIT full of automatic bids, I think. But John T., let me end with you. Any other thoughts about the evening or about that bracket that we put together?
The craziest thing I've seen all month is Yale winning the Ivy title. I still can't believe it. I know they were the runner-up of the CIT in 2014, and Coach Jones was Conference Coach of the Year in 2015. You haven't seen Justin Sears, which I assume most of you haven't. Try to catch him because he's not going to be long. He's a senior, and he's probably going to be one and done in the tourney, but he was the conference player of the year last year. He didn't get to play in the 2014 CIT title game, lost to Murray State. It's an amazing story. This team hasn't made it since 62. I hate to say it, but bravo, Yale.
Yeah, congrats to Yale as well as the other teams that have made it. The incredible story by Austin Peay, last seed in the OVC, making it as well. Holy Cross is a 9 seed going for the Patriot League Championship coming up Wednesday night. We're going to address that stuff in our Championship Week video notebooks. But for our entire panel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.